judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action, God the righteous judge, shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Welcome to the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
Good day. This is Brother Medina for Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist. And please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, thank you for the wonderful truths that you have given to us thus far. Thank you for the precious light that you have placed upon us. Please continue to give us this light, this truth, that we may be blessed, and that we may bless others, even as the end draws near. In Jesus' holy name we pray, with thanksgiving unto thee. Amen. Well, we are continuing our study about Yahweh, and this is part 3 of our study. We are showing that Yahweh, the one and only true God, is that same God that is to be identified as Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear people, this is the aim of our study. This is where our study was going, to show that the one true God, whose name is Yahweh, that same one true God, is in fact Jesus Christ. We must remember that Yahweh is not a united one. He is numerically one, one true God, numerically one. Now, that being the case, who then is Jesus Christ? And why is he called God? This is what we want to show here now. You see, my dear people, we first need to understand the Bible's description of God. We need to understand what the Bible says about God. It is what the Bible says about God that we need to take into consideration. There are various scriptures that gives us certain descriptions or certain real facts or certain realities about God. When we take these realities and put it together, we get a better idea when we say God, or when the Bible says God, what the Bible really means. When we understand that, then we can begin to look at Jesus Christ and understand how is it that he is called God. Yes, my dear people. Now, first of all, if we turn to Galatians chapter 3 and read verse 20, we see that God is numerically one. I quote, "Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one." End of quote. Did you see that? So here we have the idea of a mediator not being a mediator of one. A mediator is a mediator of two. But we are told that God is one. That's what we are told. So while in fact a mediator is a mediator of two, God is one. And by saying one there, we know it is numerical. Because look, you have two, and then look, you have one. Because a mediator mediates between two. And then here you have God is one. So the word one there is used in a numerical sense. By this we know that God is numerically one. In other words, the only one thing in the universe, the only thing in the universe that you can call one, is God himself. Yes, my dear people. And this is a fact that the Bible tells us about him. Another important reality about God we need to look at is in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, where we are told that God is invisible. Put it this way, God is not seen. You cannot see a light image with a certain shape and form and say, that is God, because God is invisible. In Colossians 1 verse 15, here is what we are told. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Did you get that? The image of the invisible God. So God is identified as being invisible right here in the scripture. Yes, my dear people. So the facts are, when a person is thinking about God, you must understand that one doesn't see him physically, because God is identified as invisible. Our next important reality about God is that God is divine. He is divine. Yes, my dear people. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, here is what we are told. I quote, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now the word that interests us here is the word divine. So we know one thing for sure. Whatever you call God, you must recognize that God is divine. Yes, my dear people. And this is what your Bible is telling you here. So we know one thing for sure, that God is divine. So if we were to, what we call, summarize the realities we have learned about God so far, we know, number one, that he is one. Number two, he is invisible. Number three, he is divine. Now let's look at what he is, again, as revealed in the Bible. John chapter 4 and verse 24 tells us, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. End of quote. Did you see that? This tells us that God is spirit. What does this mean? It means he is not something tangible that you can touch. He cannot be seen or felt. But this same God is invisible. So when you talk about God, you cannot see God with the naked eye, because he's invisible. Yes, my dear people. Another important thing we are told about God is that he is God in nature. He is God in nature. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 again, and then we will compare it with Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we are told, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice again, partakers of the divine nature. So God is God in his nature. Now when we compare that with Galatians chapter 4, and we look at verse 8, here is what we are told. I quote, it tells us this, howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. End of quote. The Greek word phusis there, nature. So we know one thing for sure, that God is God in nature. Yes, my dear people. Not in shape, not in form, but in nature. In his nature, he is God. Yes, my dear people. And finally, the Bible tells us that God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, we look at verse 8. Here is what we are told. I quote, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then when we go down to verse 16, we are told, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. End of quote. So this clearly shows us that God in his nature is love. And love here is principled love. So what do we have here? These scriptures here are clearly telling us how we are to look at God. God is love. Now, these are not qualities of God. This is his nature, his being, his structure, what he is in essence or reality. So we are not looking at God as just having these as qualities. That is whitewashing him. The facts are, these are intrinsic to his nature. It is what makes him God. It is his nature. He is one. He is invisible. He is divine. He is spirit. He is nature. He is love. Yes, my dear people. And when we say nature, we don't need nature like the trees out there. We mean in nature he is God. So far the Bible clearly shows us that God is one invisible, divine, spirit, nature, love. So his nature is spirit nature. He is love in his nature. And this is how God is. Now when you get this description of God, you have a true biblical presentation of what God is. Nobody can deny this. Nobody can reject this and feel that they are right. Listen, if you check a Muslim, if you check a Jew, whoever you check, they will have to admit to you that God is one, that he's invisible, that he's divine, that he's spirit, that he's nature, and that he's love. Yes, my dear people. All of them will have to admit that. And this is the real God that we serve, the principled one. The God who is one, invisible, divine, spirit, nature, love. And this is the description we are given in the Bible about God himself. Yes, my dear people. And the Bible tells us that this same God was in the body of Jesus Christ. Listen to me carefully. This same God, the Bible tells us, was in the body of Jesus Christ. Now we're dealing with Christ and who Christ is. If we look at 2 Corinthians verse 5 and we look at verse 19, here is what we are told. I quote, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. We can stop there. Notice we are told that God was in Christ. That means he was in the body of Christ. So when you look at the body of Christ is not God, but God was in the body of Christ. Yes, my dear people. So the person whom we call Jesus Christ, that very same person, when you check, you would find that his body is not God, but that God was in that body. That's why your Bible puts it, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So we know for sure, clearly, that this same one, invisible, divine, spirit, nature, love, was in the body of Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear people. Now again, we know for sure that this man that was born at a certain time on the earth, called Jesus, we know that he is God in spirit nature, or within him, he is God. We know that for sure, because we are told in the Bible that it was the eternal God that was to be incarnated in the body of Jesus Christ. That's what your Bible tells you. It was the eternal God that was to be incarnated in the body of Jesus Christ. If you look at Micah chapter 5, then we read verse 2. Here is what we are told. I am quoting. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting or eternal. Did you see that? So though there were thousands of cities in Judah, out of one of them, Bethlehem, was the Messiah to be born. And we are told his going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In other words, it is the eternal one, the everlasting one, that were to be born in a body on the earth in Bethlehem. And this is what we are being told here. So we know one thing for sure, that the divine nature, God himself, dwelt in the body of Jesus. We also know very much that the one who was from of old, from eternity, was to be born in the body of Jesus Christ. And that's what we are being told right here. Yes, my dear people. This clearly shows us that Jesus could not be just man alone, but he had to be God also. In other words, Jesus had two natures as his identity. He had human nature, but he also had the divine nature. Yes, my dear people. And this is the reason why your Bible also clearly tells you, if you will look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it also clearly tells us that the person who was to be born as a son is the very same God himself. Yes, my dear people. If you look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, here is what we are told. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. End of quote. Did you see that? So in the Bible, names given here to the Messiah were not arbitrary names as how we have names. His name depicted his purpose. His name also shows what he was here for and who he was. So when he has a name, his name shows, number one, his identity, and number two, what he was here for, what he came on the earth for. So we are being told his name shall be called the Mighty God. He is called the Mighty God because he is the Mighty God. So although he is a son that is born, that same son that is born would show he has human nature. But the fact that he's called the Mighty God would show that he has the divine nature. But not just only that, he's called the Everlasting Father. Now, Everlasting Father is not speaking about the person of the Father, but the divine nature as a Father nature. Remember what Jesus says? When you pray, say what? Our Father. You are addressing God as Father. You are addressing the divine nature as Father. So Jesus is called the Everlasting Father because he has the divine nature, which is the Father nature, the divine Father nature in him. All this clearly shows this child that was to be born would have two natures, human nature and the divine nature, and both were his identity. He really was the Son of Man, and at the same time, he was God in that temple of flesh. Yes, my dear people. It was the same one invisible divine spirit nature love that incarnated in the body of Jesus Christ. That is why he was called these names, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Yes, my dear people. And this is also why he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yes, my dear people. You see, Jesus is identified as God himself with us. If we look at Matthew chapter 1, and we read verse 23, here is what we are told. I quote, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. End of quote. Did you see that? So, the us here is humanity. And God with us is God with humanity. This clearly shows that Jesus was a combination of the divine nature and human nature. Yes, my dear people. Because he was God with us. That's why he's called God with us. He's called God with us because that's what his name means. And that's who he was. He was God with us in a temple of flesh. Now we know that some Muslims and watchtowers and others will come and deny that Jesus was God. Some will say God can't dwell in a temple of human flesh because that flesh is sinful or whatever. Let me tell you something. Sin is not flesh. Sin can only exist by first a choice to sin. And your flesh is not a choice. So the point about it is this. Dwelling in human flesh is not impossible. God can do that. He is God. And his nature, his divine nature, loses nothing dwelling in human flesh. He doesn't become less God in his nature because he does that. He doesn't compromise his integrity. He doesn't cease to be God himself if he dwells in human flesh. So why should one deny it? Why should one even think it is possible that something like that can be so? Yes, my dear people. So the facts are that Jesus was in fact God in human flesh. Yes, my dear people. But we need to understand this furthermore. We need to look at this much, much more. We need to continue investigating this more. We know for sure that God is one, invisible, divine, spirit, nature, love. This is what we are told in the Bible. This is various realities about God that is presented. He really is one. He is invisible. He is divine. He is spirit. He is nature. Love. He is love. So you have a divine spirit, nature, that is love. He is invisible. He is one. And this is God. That same God is the eternal God that has no beginning or ending, that whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting or eternity. And that same God was to be born in a human body. That same God was to incarnate in a human body, to come in a human body. And when he were to come in a human body, the names given to him would identify who he was. He was the mighty God. And we know watchtowers like to say there's a difference between the mighty God and the almighty God. But the Bible doesn't make a difference. Because the same Yahweh is called mighty, the same Yahweh is called almighty. The Bible doesn't make a difference between mighty and almighty. In other words, you don't have an almighty God separate from a mighty God. You don't have gods. You have one God, numerically one God. And that numerically one God is the same mighty God or the almighty God, whichever word you choose to use. And we know one thing for sure. That's the reason why Jesus was called the mighty God. That's the reason why he was called the everlasting Father. Because while you have the Father as the person of the Father, and you have the Son, Jesus, as the person of the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit as the person of the Spirit, that one divine, that nature, that invisible spirit, nature, love, dwelt in the three persons at the same time. So what made Jesus God was not his body form, but the fact that the one invisible, divine, spirit, nature dwelt in that body and was identified as belonging to that body. Yes, my dear people. So when you say Father, you're not dealing with the person of the Father here, you're dealing with the Father nature, the divine nature that is the divine Father nature. And so we know that's the reason why Jesus was called the Everlasting Father. Because in his body, this child that was born was the divine father nature. The father nature which is divine, which is God, and which is his identity. Now all these things are realities that were identified in the scriptures long, long before the 6th and 7th century. Long, long before. These are realities that were known long before the 600s. And long, long before any other god was named in Arabia. These truths were known long before. And these truths are eternal truths that cannot change. God is one. God is invisible. God is divine. God is spirit. God is nature. God is love. One invisible divine spirit, nature, love. These are truths and realities. And that God, according to Micah chapter 5 verse 2, came in a temple of flesh. That eternal God came in a temple of flesh. According to Isaiah 9:6, that same God, that exact same one God, came in a body of flesh. Therefore he was called the mighty God. Therefore he was called the everlasting father, the divine father nature. These truths were known long ago. After these truths were known, we had religions coming up, and those religions that came up brought these concepts. But these concepts are not true. These concepts that they brought are false. They are not true. The true concept is that Jesus is God, but not in his flesh. Now we need to continue this discussion more. We need to show more scriptures. We need to explain this a little more. We need to show you more facts about this. And we will do this in our next program. But so far you have seen the same God, the same one God, who existed from all through eternity. That one God came in a temple of human flesh. And that's the reason why he was called, while he was in a temple of flesh, God on the earth. God with us. Not because of his body, not because of his flesh, but because of what inhabited that flesh, which was the identity that he had also. He had two identities, a human identity and a divine identity. He was the Son of God, he was the Son of Man. Yes, my dear people. And these are the things we're going to talk about more as we enter into this discussion more. So, may God add his blessings to you as you take these things into consideration. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for another Escape for the Life Radio broadcast. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123. That's 528-2123 or 531-7558. We do look forward for you joining us again next week when we present to you another edition of Escape for Thy Life. Until next time, may God bless you.
How shall we stand in the great day? How shall we stand in the great day? Shall we be free?